Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. My pastor told me a while back that he had begun to go back and preach from the old passages, the old messages, you know, the old standards, Brother Charles, you know, the ones we're talking about, Genesis 22 and other. And so I have been doing the same, especially on the radio. And I would venture to say that most everyone who has heard and believed the truth, and I mean the gospel, there's only one, the gospel. Paul called it in the book of Titus, the doctrine of God our Savior. That sums it up, doesn't it? Or as Brother Todd preached, the doctrine of Christ. I would venture to say that most everyone who has heard and learned and believed that gospel, the gospel of God's sovereign mercy and electing grace in Christ, first heard that, or really heard it, from perhaps the book of Romans, Romans 9 maybe, or Ephesians 1 or 2. Wouldn't you say? Most of you can enter into that. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, just a few verses is all I want to look at. This is, in this chapter, the first six verses alone, is one of the plainest declarations of that gospel, the gospel of God's sovereign grace in all of the Scripture. One way that you know the gospel has come to you, gospel means good news, doesn't it? Is when you love it, you receive the love of the truth, don't you? You love the gospel. You not only believe it, you're not only convinced of it, you love it. And you continue to love that same gospel. And you insist upon hearing that and won't tolerate anything else. And when you hear it, the same old things is still good news to you, isn't it? It's just as good news. It's good news, isn't it? And Ephesians 1 is still just as good news right now as it was when you first heard it, isn't it? The gospel, the doctrine of God our Savior. And to say the same things to you, like Paul said to the Philippians, to write or preach the same things is not grievous to me. You know, we go, Brother Charles, if you go to a conference, you want to preach something safe, don't you? This is safe. Walter Groover one time came to our place and he said, I'm going to preach from Genesis 22. And most of you know that's the story of Abraham taking Isaac up on that mountain. And he said, if a man can't preach from Genesis 22, he needs to sit down. And it's true with Ephesians 1. Isn't it? Just read it. Just read it. That's all we need to do. Well, and for you it's safe. For you you don't need to hear something new. You need to hear the old truth. Well, he begins in verse 1. Paul. Not Father Paul, not Reverend Paul, just Paul. Paul. An apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, back then, the title of the office of an apostle, if you want to call it office, was not something which made you famous. It made you infamous, didn't it? Got you killed. One of them got killed. So he's using this term. And the word just means messenger. That's what it means. Paul, a messenger of Jesus Christ. Now, this was written by the Apostle Paul, but this is God's Word. Every word of it is God's Word. It's vital that we keep that in mind. This is God's Word. These are not just the words or opinions or counsel of man. Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, I'm thankful that you received the word as it is in truth. the Word of God. Not the words of a man, but the words of a man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. He was thankful. And you can be thankful if you believe that this is indeed God's Word. Not Paul's Word, but God's Word. Now more than ever. Now more than ever. When God's truth is being under attack, especially the writings of, or the epistles of the Apostle Paul, mostly under attack by women. Did you get that? Women, 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians 14 and so forth. These are God's Word. God's Word. And now more than ever, we believe, we confess, this is God's Word. Paul, an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ. Christ called him. Christ sent him. Christ made him his messenger. And Brother John, Christ was his message, wasn't it? Christ was his message. As with all true God-sent preachers, if they're sent by God, they have one message. Christ. One minute. He said this in verse 1, by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Paul knew who chose him. He knew who called him. He knew who equipped him. He never lost sight of that fact. I believe that's one reason the Lord used him so mightily. He never thought of himself too highly. He told us that, didn't he? Let no man think of himself too highly, more highly than we ought. And Paul said, I'm less than the least of all the saints, didn't he? So God made him the greatest. You remember when the apostles... When the apostles were arguing who was the greatest among them? You remember that? They all argued. Well, it was none of them. And later on, the Apostle Paul came along. And he said, I'm not fit to be called an apostle. I'm less than the least. I was a blasphemer and persecutor. I'm the chief of sinners. Well, God said, I'm going to make you the chief apostle. Matthew Henry once said, if God made everything out of nothing, so if he's going to use you, you've got to be a nothing. A nothing. Brother John Newton, one of my favorite preachers, is he one of your, one of my, he never quit calling himself, till the day he died, he never quit calling himself the African blasphemer. The old African blasphemer. He was in the slave trade, you remember that? Until finally one day he himself became a slave. Amazingly. Then he became a bond slave. But he never lost sight of where the Lord found him and what he really was. Neither should we. By the will of God, as all things are, aren't they? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And he's revealed this mystery to us, the mystery of his will. He says to in one, verse 1, to the saints which are at Ephesus, or the saints which are at Kingsport. Saints. This is a blessed term. A blessed term, saints. This is one of the most blessed terms in Scripture. In fact, this is a name which God calls His people, I think, more than any other. Am I correct about that? I think this is what the believer, the children of God are called more than any other, the saints. The saints. Now, there are many things in modern religion today that make me angry. It makes me angry the way they're blaspheming our God. Doesn't it you? If you love God, it should. If you think His name needs to be exalted, you should. And I hate the way they're dragging His name through the dirt, where they're using God's name in vain. Don't you? I hate what they're doing to His Word, twisting it and perverting it. Don't you? I hate what they're saying about Jesus, my Lord Jesus Christ. I hate that, don't you? And they're bandying this term saint around, aren't they? They're making like that, like old Ahab or one of those old wicked kings. It says he made the worst sort of men into priests. And they're making all sorts of fellas saints, aren't they? There's no fella in Rome can make somebody a saint. God in heaven makes saints, doesn't he? You tell somebody you heard John Paul tonight. Do you think about that? Saint.
John and Paul.
I don't say that presumptuously or carelessly. Nobody else knows us, Brother John. But I believe God has chosen us, don't you? Made us saints. He told the Romans, to them who are called to be saints. Saint means sanctified, means separated, set apart by God for His use. That's what it meant. For holy use. We're going to see that in a minute. Called to be saints. The ones not declared a saint by a little fellow in Rome, but by the great God in heaven. He makes His saint. To the saints at Ephesus, and there's some in here, in Kingsport. And He says to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, He wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, but whatever He writes to the church is to all the churches. Right? All the churches. And they're described as the saints and the faithful. That is, those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful, you think of somebody who's true, don't you? That's a good description of God's people. They're true to Him. True, they really are. They're true to His glory. His preachers are true to His glory. Yes, they are. They're true to His Word, aren't they? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Don't be afraid to say that. And faithful in Christ. Faithful to the church, to the believers, those full of faith, and those who are devoted to the glory of their God and the glory of His Son and the good of His people. Yes, they are. Now, He keeps using this term through this chapter, you know, in Christ. In Christ. This just sums up the gospel, doesn't it? In a minute, I'm going to try to illustrate what that means to be in Christ. Salvation is to be found in Christ. Salvation is to be accepted in Christ. Salvation to be redeemed by Him or in Christ. Found in Him. In Christ. He keeps saying that over and over. In a moment, I'm going to try to just illustrate that to you. But He says to the saints and the faithful, verse 2, grace be to you. Here's that word again. We keep hearing it, don't we? Well, when you hear the gospel, you hear it a lot, won't you, Brother John? Because that is the gospel. Grace is the gospel of God's sovereign grace. That's what you preach, then. Grace. 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 Brother John did something. I've never had anybody do this to me. He called me up, and before we came here, he called me up and told me what he was going to preach on. He knew he was preaching before me, and that was very gracious of you to do that. He was afraid, I guess, that he had taken my text. Well, it didn't matter what text he would take. He'd get on mine anyway. Isn't that right? Brother Charles quoted from this. John quoted from this. Todd quoted from this. If you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to get around to this, aren't you? You're going to say grace. You're going to talk about God's sovereign electing grace, aren't you? You can't preach the gospel without that. That's where it starts. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what this message is entitled. That's what the salvation is entitled. Grace be unto you. Grace. You're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8 said. By grace you say. Salvation is 100% the grace of God. Not 99 and 9/10. 100%. Now, grace means gift. That's what it means. It means a gift bestowed, not offered. Salvation is not an offer. Nowhere in this book does it say that. I hate the word. I hate it. I really do. I'm sorry. I hate it. No, I'm not sorry. Whatever's not in God's Word, I don't want to hear it. It's not an offer. Grace is not an offer that you do something with. Grace is something God does to you. Grace is an act of God upon you, for you, in you. That's what this grace is. Grace bestowed upon you. It's a gift. It's not an offer. It's bestowal. The Scripture says things like this. The operation of God. Those of you who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Well, that's grace. That's the grace we're talking about here. An operation upon us. Great. And down here in verse 6, he talks about the praise of the glory of His grace. The grace that I'm going to try to, well, I'm not going to do it, but make a stab at it, to declare, is the glory and the wonder and the marvel of God's sovereign grace. We sing that song, don't we? Amazing grace. A lot of people like to sing that tune because it sounds good, because it makes them feel good. Only God's people really know the amazement of grace, the wonder of grace, the glory of grace. That's what he said, the glory of grace, the glory of it. And I heard Brother, now we're talking about grace, a gift. And I heard Brother Charles Pennington say this years ago, and it really struck me. And it's so plain, I don't know what I didn't think of it. He said, if it's grace, it must be sovereign by definition. If it's a gift, it must be sovereign. In other words, you're going to give something to somebody. You're the one that decides who gets it, aren't you? If it's mercy, Brother Tony, if it's mercy, that means not getting what you deserve. It is by definition sovereign. He decides. God said, and here's the glory of it, I will be merciful. Aren't you glad? Hey, sinner, aren't you glad God will show mercy? They said, to whom I will show mercy. That's His divine right as God. And God's saints love it that way. That's His glory. Not only the glory that He shows mercy and shows grace, but it's His divine prerogative and right, isn't it? That's what makes Him God. I heard a good statement recently, a good short, concise statement on God's absolute sovereignty. He said, this is sovereignty. He said, God is God, and we are not. That's right. It sums it up. And nothing more declares His sovereignty than this. It's the glory of His grace. It's His to give. He gives it whom He will, and He gives a lot of it. The God of all grace. Grace. God's grace. We're talking about sovereign, electing, calling, keeping, saving grace. Grace. You name a grace. It's all by grace. A man can receive nothing except it be what? Given Him from above. You quoted that. What do we have that we haven't received? In other words, everything is by God's grace. Repentance is the grace of God in it. We're not going to repent until God gives us, in His goodness, this gift of repentance.
That's right.
Abraham was 75 years old and idolater, steeped in idolatry. Nobody's going to convince a 75-year-old man that he's wrong, are they? No man, that is. But God did, Brother Charles. And he did it effectually. And he repented and renounced his whole past. Nobody can do that but God. Real repentance that doesn't need repenting of. The gift of repentance, the grace of repentance, the grace of faith, to believe who you don't see, to love who you don't see, to cast all your care upon and your whole life, invest your whole life in somebody you've never seen, look for a place you've never been. Huh? Faith itself is evidence of things unseen, Scripture said. That itself is evidence. It's the gift of God. It's the working of His mighty power to make people believe. Think about this, folks. Think about this. You're here tonight to sit and listen and worship and talk about and rejoice around somebody that lived 2,000 years ago in a little town over in Jerusalem or over in Israel. And you're consumed with it. Aren't you? Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Amazing grace. Faith is the gift of God, the grace of God. Understanding, perseverance. Well, if we persevere, it's the grace of God. We're kept by the grace of God. God's saving grace is something God does for you, something He does to you, and something He does in you. And He goes on to say in verse 2, He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father Peace. Peace from God our Father. God, whom Scripture says is angry with the wicked every day. And He should be. As angry as we get, you know, like old Lot, vexed with the conversation of the wicked, and it gets worse all the time, doesn't it? God is angry with the wicked every day. God, Scripture says, hateth all workers of iniquity. And God, who should be angry with us, is not. God, who is going to destroy this planet full of people. That's a fact. Spared us. Why? Because He spared not His own Son. Because Jesus Christ made peace by the blood of His cross. That's more than a doctrine, folks. That's a reality. That's somebody taking your place. That's somebody coming where you are on death row and said, I'll take his place. Let's ask old Barabbas about substitution. Well, he could preach that, couldn't he? Peace, because Christ, the chastisement of our peace, He was laid on Him. He took our whipping. Took our whipping. Peace from God our Father. Now you understand that God only has one begotten Son? That God only had one begotten Son, the express image of God, Jesus Christ, the only one who came from the bosom of the Father. One begotten Son. One. And yet here he says He's our Father. How can that be? In Him, in Christ, He's the firstborn among many brethren. We're adopted. All of us are adopted. He's the only begotten. We're adopted, aren't we? But let me tell you something. Tony is just as much a child as the firstborn, right? Just as much. Adopted. God our Father. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who told us we could call Him that. Isn't it? We didn't know He could until He said we could. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, or the Son the Father. Him to whom He was revealing. Right? And Brother Charles, that's when Christ, in His Sermon on the Mount, He said, pray this way, our Father. Throughout the Gospel of John, He talks about, I go to my Father. I go to my Father. And then finally, in one place, He said to His disciples, I go to my Father and your Father. Oh, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're one and the same, aren't they? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, Christ said. They're one and the same. Yeah, call His name the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. From our Lord. And He says in verse 3, now He, and Brother John preached, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed means all honor and glory and praise be to the God. The God. I like that, don't you? I like the way Paul calls the God. Our God. The God who is God. I love what old Moses said to the people. He said, now their rock's not like our rock. Our rock is the rock upon which we stand. Unmovable. Eternal. Rock of ages upon whom we stand. And will not be moved. Now their rock's not. Their God's not like our God. Our Lord Himself said that. Why do they pray to a God who cannot save? Let me tell you something. Our God saves. Our God. The God. He is God. Not trying to be God. He is God. I mean, the only one. You love to hear this? This is life eternal, that you might know Thee. The only what? True God. You ever get tired of hearing this? You ever get tired of hearing your God exalted? It's your favorite subject, Brother John. Huh? Tell me about God who is God. Because all of our peace, all of our comfort, for everything, is in this. Thy God reigneth. Nothing to know. Whom shall I be afraid, David said. Whom shall I fear but Thee? Our God. Thee is the God. Blessed be the God. David wrote in one of my favorite psalms, bless the Lord, Oh, my soul. Can you? Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. In heavenly places or things in Christ. There it is again. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Now, everything we have, we've received from God. Everything. And in that sense, everything is a blessing from God. If you're here tonight and in relative good health, that's a blessing from God. Don't take that for granted. Don't do it. Oh, bless the Lord for health and for home and for family, don't we? Huh? God who giveth us. It's the grace of God that giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Bless the Lord for these blessings. And they are a blessing. And I really believe, that only God's people can truly enjoy these blessings like no one else. Knowing who they came from. Knowing they're undeserved. And they don't take them for granted like other people do. Or not as much, anyway. I really believe only God's people can truly enjoy the things that God has given us, the material thing, more than anybody. I really do. But now, these are not the blessings. These are not the greatest blessing. These are not the true blessing. He says He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessing. Now, I'm getting on something that's too big for me. Well, when I started, it was too big for me. Brother John kept painfully reminding me how short we've both come up. Literally. All our lives we've been short, haven't we, John? What about preaching, buddy? You ever think you've come up to this task? Oh, I'm getting on. Oh, who was it that said, I've spoken things too wonderful for me. But that's the way it is. That's who the Lord uses. He doesn't send angels down here to tell this because they don't know about mercy. They can't describe mercy, can they? They can't tell you about grace. They're not recipients of it. They really not. Well, sinners can. Only sinners can. Huh? Spiritual blessing. That's what we're talking about. The greatest blessing. The things seen. Scripture says, God's Word says, things that are seen are temporal. Doesn't matter what it is. Moth's going to corrupt it. Thieves are going to steal it. Rust is going to corrupt it. It's not going to last. It's perishing. It's corrupt. But the unseen things now are eternal, Scripture says. Unseen things. Spiritual things. Eternal blessing. And He says they're in Christ. All of these blessings are in Christ. All things are in Christ. And Paul said this one time. God said this through him. He said, Eye has never seen. Ear hath not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man. Any man. The things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. We try our best to describe this thing. We can't come. Kind of like old Abraham's old servant that went to get a bride for Isaac. Huh? An old and faithful servant. He went there to try to describe one of the greatest men on earth at that time. To try to describe his master's riches. He said, I can't do it. You have to come see for yourself. Will you come? Who made her willing? Same one that made up. Oh, eternal riches and blessings of in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eye hasn't seen. Paul, it was Paul, we believe, that went to the third heavens and he said, I heard things. Not saw things, but just heard things that I can't convey them. I can't put into word. No, nobody's heard it. I can't, there's nothing to describe it. No man can. But here's where he starts, though. He tries, and I do too. He doesn't try. He does it. Here's where it starts. Here's the blessing of blessings. One of our brethren already said it, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Blessing of blessing. This is where it starts. This is where all blessings start. God sovereignly choosing you. And once again, this is more than a doctrine. Old Brother Barnard used to say, election's not just a doctrine. It's a person choosing persons. It's a reality. A God who shouldn't have chose us, did. A God who could have chose others, but didn't. Chose us instead. We never get a hold of the glory of the fact that He chose me, and not this man. Me. I don't think Jacob got over that. Grew up in the same house as Esau, didn't he? Experienced the same benefits and under parents like that. But God said He loved him and not Esau. Oh, the hall of heaven is singing about this. Chosen in Him. In Christ. Chosen. Read on. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Before God in love. Having predestinated us. Do you love the sound of that word? That's grace. Most people don't. They really don't. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Anybody like the sound of the word adoption? Anybody here know anything about adoption? Does it sound good? Is it a sweet thing to you? Huh? Yeah. Adoption? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children? Sure. He says it's all according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what I'm trying to do right now. The praise of the glory of His grace. This grace, this electing grace, is glorious. Oh, how I'd love to preach it in such a way that it would be glorious to us. Not just convince us, but it just... I can't even... The glory of His grace, the wonder of it, the marvel of it, that God Almighty chose me. He didn't have to, but He did. Chose me. Predestinated me. Predetermined everything about me. Aren't you glad? Huh? Predetermined. For whom He did foreknow. He did predestinate. I heard some ignorant woman on the radio, some ignorant so-called preacher woman, and if she's a woman on the radio, she's ignorant. But she was on the radio and she said predestination doesn't have anything to do with people. It has to do with things and events and so forth. Boy, they do err not knowing the Scriptures, don't they? That's where all this error comes from. People don't know what the Word of God says and don't care. Every time it's mentioned in Scripture, it's about people, isn't it? Twice in Ephesians 1 and twice in Romans 8. And every single time it's talking about people. God's people. Whom He predestined to be just like Jesus Christ. What's wrong with that? How could anybody find fault with that? Only a self-righteous person could. God's people love the sound of it. You mean you're going to make me just like Jesus Christ? You mean you predetermined my end to be just like Him? That's right. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Tell it again. I do too, brother. Predestination. Yes. Predestinated. Chosen. Predestinated. Oh, the glory of His sovereign, electing, predestinating grace. I went and did a little research on something. There are 17... See if this doesn't bring this thing home of the glory of electing grace. There are 17 million babies born in China every year. 17 million. 1 million of them are born with a birth defect. A few other million die. Many others, mostly female, disappear, if not destroyed. Nobody admits it, but years ago they do it without apology. Just destroy female babies. Most of them are born in abject poverty. and grow up in homes of heathen, idol-worshipping parents. But God. In His sovereign mercy and providence, chose one and gave her to that man right there to bring her and sit her under the gospel. 17 million! And set her down under the gospel, under godly believing parents. Now, is that grace or what? Gave her to this dear man and his dear wife. And you know, God did the same for us. How many millions are born worldwide? How many millions grow up under heathen parents? But God chose us in Christ. Oh my, gave us to Christ. Gave us to Christ. Oh, how God hath blessed us according as He hath chosen us out of men. Huh? Given us to Christ to save us. Given us to the Holy Spirit to regenerate us, to lead us, to guide us. Bring us up in the fear of the Lord. When did He do this? What does it say there? When did He do this? Nothing can be plainer. Before the foundation of the world. Romans 9 says, the children, being not yet born, before they had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. What do you say to those things? Aren't you glad? Spurgeon's the one that said, I'm so glad the Lord chose me before I was born, because if He waited till after, He wouldn't have chosen me then. That's, you know, a familiar way of saying it, but it makes sense, doesn't it? Jacob was no different, really, by nature. He was no different than Esau, was he? He came out as a cheat, a usurper. Oh, my. Before the foundation of the world, before we were born, chose us, set His love upon us, predestinated us to be children, to be holy. Don't be afraid of that word. That's what God's people want to be. That's what salvation's all about. Salvation is to hate sin. Salvation is to love holiness. Christ is holiness. We want to be just like Him. Well, that's what God has predetermined that we're going to be. Just like Him. Blameless before Him, it says. There's only one person able to do that and present us that way. Christ Himself. He in love. He did it in love, His Scripture said. In love. God did this in love to Christ. God, He said, ask me and I'll give the heathen. I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. He didn't get much, did He? But because He did, God gave Him a name which is above every name. Because He took upon Himself the form of a servant, God gave Him a name above every. Because He saved these people. Because He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. Because He did all that, God gave Him a name. But the inheritance He got was us. Who was it? John was talking about my father-in-law on the golf course. Did you bring that up? Who brought that up? Somebody. Dad brought that up. Well, when I started dating his daughter years ago, I loved to play golf. Played a lot of golf. I loved to play golf. And my father-in-law had a sports car too, Roger. A nice sports car. And he I don't know why he did this, but he said, here's keys, take off. Take my daughter. Go. And let me play golf. Give me a set of clubs and all that. You know, when I got married, when I married his daughter, he sold both of those things. And all he had left was an old English bulldog. One ugly, you know, English bulldog. He said, you can have that when I die. And what an inheritance that he got. Boy, we're joint heirs with him, though. I mean, everything that Brother John said, everything that belongs to God is ours. Oh, my. to be holy, blameless before Him, predestined in love. God did it in love. There's the point. He did it in love to Christ, love to His glory, His honor. He did it in love to His people. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Huh? God, give me a wonder and an amazement at such love. Huh? Behold, what manner of love. He loved me. Love us. In love. He did it in love. And He caused us to love Him, a former God-hater. Love, now loves God. We love Him. We do love Him. I love God, don't you? Don't be afraid to say that either. Don't be afraid. We're ashamed of our love. We're ashamed of it. Like Peter, aren't we? We're ashamed of the fact that we've denied it. We're ashamed of the fact that we've sinned against it. We're ashamed of our fickle, finite, failing love, aren't we? Our weak love. We're ashamed of it. But we do love Him. When I talked about God as being God, what did you think about that? This is what I'm talking about. It's not just being convinced. I believe God is sovereign. It's loving that He's sovereign. Sure. Huh? When I was a kid, you couldn't describe my dad big enough. I thought he was 8 feet tall, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. He could whip your dad. Yes, he could. My God is God. Don't you love to hear that, brother? Is this your favorite subject? That means you love God. A lot of people say they do. A lot of people say they love God. When you start talking about Him being God, they don't love that, do they? How about you? This is His glory. If you love God's glory, you love somebody to glorify Him. Amen. If you're a helpless, hopeless, poor, weak sinner, you love to hear about somebody that's got you in His hands. Amen. Huh? That come hell or high water, it's going to be okay. Thy God reigneth. There's no way to say this but to holler it. Huh? Isaiah said, get up. God said it to Isaiah. Get up. Lift up your voice. Tell them. Behold thy God. This is my salvation. It's not a doctrine. It's a person on a throne. And He's got me in His mind. He's got me in His heart. He's got me engraved on His... He can't forget me. He's got me engraved on His hands. I think about that every time I go to baptize someone. Because I just fear, and all you preachers know, you just fear you're going to forget their name, don't you? So I went to writing their names on the palm of my hand. While I'm up there, I get so, my sister, our God says He's got us engraved on His hand. Christ said, well, they wanted to say. He said, they're in my Father's hand, they're in my hand. What is that? In love. You see, God loves His people. And again, I hate what they're saying about the love of God. Don't you? I hate it. I hate it. Nancy, this is our salvation. If God loves you, He loves you. That's our salvation, isn't it? He'll never quit loving you. He saves everybody He loves. This is to the praise and the glory of His love. And why did He do this? He did this before the foundation of the world. And I thought about this again, Brother Tony and Rita. I thought about this. God did this before the foundation of the world. Can you love an unborn child? Before we were born, He set His love upon. Can you love an unborn child? Huh? Ask my daughter. Ask her mother. Can you? God did. God did. Listen to David. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written. They were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Predestinated everything about me. Named me. Loved me. Set His love upon us before the... Brother Alex and Rita, Long before Alexis knew her, they knew them, they knew her. Didn't you? Found out everything about her, didn't you? And Brother Tony sent pictures around of when they went to get her. And my favorite one is when Rita, he took a picture of Rita when she first laid eyes on Alexis. She loved her. Well, why did he do this? Why did God choose to be? Why did he set his love on them? Why did he give them to cry? Why did he do all this? There's only one explanation. The good pleasure of his will. Because he did. Scripture says, it pleased the Lord to make you his people. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. He pleased to do it. Just pleased to do it. And he keeps telling us, and go on down, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, that is, in this grace, he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. It's according to the riches of his grace, all grace. And it's all in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, by Christ, chosen in Christ, accepted in Christ, redeemed by Christ, forgiven in Christ. Now here, I'm going to illustrate this. I preached a little while and I want to tell you something. There's a passage we all remember when we first heard Brother Scott Richardson preach from it. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we. That is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. Right now. As he is, so are we. I told you about my daughter. My daughter's expecting. You saw her. She's expecting. She has a child in her belly. A new person. I mean, a brand new person is in her. Something that has never existed before. Anyone argue about that? It's just flame. There's a new creature in her. Brand new, never existed before. Isn't that what the Scripture says about us? Why anybody want to argue that? For life, I can't understand. This is the praise of the glory of His sovereign working. In there's a child in her belly that's never existed before. How did it get there? How did that child get there? The Father put it there. The seed of the Father put it there. Right? The Father impregnated her. And that seed of the Father went and created this child. How do we get in Christ? When my daughter was real, real young, she asked her mother, was in the back seat coming home from one of the services. And she said to her mother, she said, Mom, she said, how does one get in Christ? I wish more adults would ask that question, don't you? Have you ever had anybody out there ask that question? Well, she was told, 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are you in Christ. Of God, the Father, put you there. Born again of incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which lived. Christ is that Word. And it's created in a person. And complete. That child in her, that baby, is complete. All her members are there. We went to watch the ultrasound of that baby not too long ago. She invited her mother and I to go see her. I kind of believe her mother pretty much insisted on it. But anyway, we went to see the ultrasound of that child, and they were all talking. Gabe and Mindy and Hannah were talking. Hannah was talking to the nurse. You know, she is a nurse, and they were doing that, and they were rubbing them. They were all talking, but I wasn't. I was silent, standing back in the back. I didn't care if it was a boy, a girl. I didn't care. was looking for fingers, toes, legs, arms. I wanted to know she was complete. And that nurse, and I do love technology, is what you're saying. That technology is much better than it used to be when we went, she had hers, you know. I couldn't even tell that thing was a human, you know. But the nurse was showing us toes. She said, there, got all her toes. She looked at her spine, said, there's no hole, no nothing there. No problems seem to be there. There's her arms. There's all her fingers. And the reason we know it was a girl, because something else was missing. Clearly I could see. Clearly I could see. Girl. And only then was I complete in her. Scripture says we're complete in Christ. Am I going to come up short? We're going to come up short, John? No. Uh-uh. Not if you're in Christ. You don't have to worry about it. Rest. Complete. Complete in her. In Christ. In him. And that baby gets her life from her mother. Completely. Feeds off of her. Feeds off of her. Because her mother lives, she lives. And Christ said that. And that baby is protected by her mother. If the mother is safe, so is the baby. Huh? Huh? Christ said, no man taketh my life from me. He said, he that liveth and believeth in me will never die. Why is that? We're in him. Protected by him, accepted in him. Wherever my daughter goes, that baby goes. Wherever she goes, whoever loves her loves that baby. Are you with me? That baby is accepted. Wherever she goes, the baby is accepted. You can't say, you know, when she, well, you can come in, but the baby can't. You can't say that. She's in her. He's in her, accepted in him, redeemed in him. All she does, all that Hannah, my daughter, does, everything she does, the baby does. Whatever accomplishment she accomplished, that baby accomplished. Everything she does, she does. Where she goes, the baby goes. Now, is this in any way illustrate what it means to be in Christ? Sure. Well, I tried. Brother Scott would say, that's the best I could do. Best I could do. In Christ. And he goes on to say, and I quit with this. He said, he's made this known unto us. He's abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery. This mystery of his will. Brother Rupert said, what is the mystery? Here it is. Here it is. Here's God's will. Here's God's will. Here's His eternal will. This is what God willed before it all began. A kingdom for His Son. A family just like His Son. A whole bunch of them just like His Son. And the gospel comes, and how you know you're in it is He tells you about it. This gospel comes and tells you. Our gospel came. No, in our election, because our gospel came. And not in word, but power. Holy Ghost, much assured, and revealed unto you the mystery of His will. Here it is, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation, when it's all over, when everything's done, all time ceases, He's going to gather together in one, there it is again, in one, all things in Christ. In heaven, there are many in heaven right now. They're right now seated with Christ. They're, and we are too. We just can't see it. They're with Him right now. We're talking about your two dear husbands there. What a supporters of the gospel they were. What they meant. Sue Thacker's husband, what he meant to you. Huh? Joe Parks. They're right now, I believe, both of them. Gazing on the Lord Jesus Christ, where we want to be. They'd been gathered. It was a mercy of the Lord to gather them early. What? Gather them early. Trial for you, but mercy to them. But this is the will. This is the purpose of God. And He does what He will. And this is His purpose, to gather it all in Christ, even in Him. When it's all said and done, Christ is going to say, He's going to present them all to the Father. They're all here, present and accounted for. Every one of them. I didn't lose of all which Thou hast given me. I've lost nothing. Not one of them missing. To the praise of the glory of His sovereign, saving, electing, redeeming, calling, predestinating, keeping grace. Amen. Oh, may the Lord bless that to you.